And welcome to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, and we're really happy to be with you and talk about health, wellness, and issues in alternative medicine today. We have Nita Kassin, or Kassin, is going to be our guest, and we're really excited to have her on, talking about fat loss, focus, and energy. And we're going to be doing that in a sec. Remember, you can always get more information on our walks and talks and seminars at our respective websites at naturalnurse.com and drznaturally.com. We're getting ready to go on our Jamaica Eco Tour trip in February, late February, early March. So we'll be posting some more information about that if you'd like to join us on our Eco Tours for Cures. But with that in mind, let's bring in our wonderful guest here. And we're going to be talking about utilizing the body's preferred source of fuel to optimize health and performance. And Nita is a master's prepared registered nurse whose professional career has ranged from critical care to flight nursing to serving as a lieutenant commander in the U.S. Naval Reserve Nurse Corps and chief nursing officer and COO roles in many hospitals throughout the U.S. She has a passion for helping herself and others upgrade their body, their mind, and their lives through the proven science of biohacking and ketones. And we'll be finding out more about that. So are you with us, Nita?
I am here. I'm here. How are you?
Great, great. So tell us a little bit about why fitness and losing weight and ketones is such a hard thing for people in the United States at this time. We have like one of the largest, look at the, I'm trying to be nice, heroically proportioned, let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's okay. If we look at our actual statistics, it's pretty frightening. I mean, we've, you know, just in the United States, we're running about a 40% obesity rate at this point. And if you add that to what's considered overweight, we're about 70%. So, you know, we've become a country that is used to being unhealthy, if you will, and is used to, you know, not necessarily having themselves physically where they need to be. And, you know, and that affects everything. It affects, you know, the diseases we get. It affects how we feel. It affects what we can do on a day-to-day basis. So, yeah, but the statistics have, you know, they're kind of right in your face. And, you know, my goal is to help to try to turn that around for some folks.
Yeah. So it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, we had my professor, Dr. Joe Pizzorno. He's the founder of the Bastyr University of Natural Health Science and just an esteemed, knowledgeable guy in natural medicine. And he was saying that persistent organic pollutants that are in our fat.
Yeah.
Are one of the reasons for why we're not losing weight. He looked at diabetes statistics and things like that, and he found in his research and presented it really eloquently on the show that the reason why our bodies are holding on to fat, or one reason at least, has to do with some type of toxicity with organic pollutants and things like that. So maybe there's like a different mindset or reason for why people are holding on to the weight. Maybe we all need to somehow mobilize that fat,
right,
and shed it, because if we mobilize the fat, the body will be actually detoxing in a way. We're reducing the xenobiotic load of those toxins. So it kind of it's tangentially related to your topic, because you know you're talking about actually using fat or tapping into your fat as a fuel source, and then he's talking about losing the fat as a way to detox your body, get rid of these organic pollutants, which are somehow turning off the thermogenic switches in our body. So it's kind of interesting that
yeah
I don't know how much you have read about that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely will dig into that. It's very interesting because there's no question that the environment that, you know, we live in, you know, is a big part of where our health is at this point. And, you know, there's the biggest thing is what can we do? You know, sometimes it's bigger than us, but what is it that we can do individually to try to fight that? And that was just great what you were just saying in terms of kind of, you know, the two things somewhat coming together. And, you know, how can we break down that fat inside of our bodies and, you know, kind of detox, get rid of some of the things that are affecting our overall health. That's very interesting.
But it's almost like our body's intelligence doesn't want to lose the fat for some reason. Is it a protective mechanism that, like, why do we store fat? Let's go back to the physiology, because, you know, being a professor myself and talking about these things with a lot of my students in naturopathic medical school, no, we talk about the way that our body uses fuels, whether it's carbohydrates or proteins or fats, and it's very confusing for people, that's for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, we've had you know, kind of the whole world of nutrition, you know, really turned upside down probably, you know, 40 years ago, which has just made us sicker. So the things that we have thought, you know, we were supposed to be doing and the way that we thought we were supposed to be eating has, you know, has actually turned things in the wrong direction. Excuse me. And you can see that when you look at, when, again, back to statistics regarding obesity and some of those types of things, but also just regarding chronic disease and knowing that, you know, at this point in time, again, here in the United States, you know, 6 in 10 Americans have at least one chronic disease and 4 in 10 have at least two. That's really frightening. You know, it's and again, it kind of goes back to we've become adjusted and used to the fact that, you know, we're not going to have 100% health. And yet I truly believe that we can, and we can turn some of those things around no matter what somebody's health or situation is at this point. And, you know, but we've been tricked, I think, in some respects. And so, you know, you kind of have to look at what is it that the body can use? You know, we use glucose for fuel and for energy, which is great. But we have gotten to the point where, you know, you go over the line. And if you have too much glucose in your system, the body is storing it in the fat, which is what makes us fatter and makes us unhealthier. So you have to think about, you know, how do you have that balance? And what is the fuel that your body really works the best with? How does it respond? You know, what is it? What's the fuel that it responds the best to, which is why I'm so passionate about, you know, the things that I'm doing and the focus on ketones, as you mentioned, just because we're, you know, you kind of go back to the very beginning of time and where did the fuel source come from for, you know, for humans when we didn't have McDonald's and we didn't have fast food restaurants on every corner and we didn't have the kind of you know, packaged foods and processed foods that we've got today.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, like, generally when we eat carbohydrates or fats, you know, a typical meal, like we just celebrated Thanksgiving, for instance.
Yes.
We had a medley of all kinds of wonderful foods and things like that. So they go into the stomach and then they're digested with our enzymes and then your body breaks it down into the elemental things, some proteins, some fats, some carbs, and then they somehow have to get into the cells, right? And so what happens in the whole physiology for us?
Yeah, you know, so it's interesting. It's like, you know, depending on how you've eaten. Now, if somebody went into Thanksgiving and they ate the turkey and they ate, you know, they ate the vegetables and some of those types of things, their body was going to react very differently than somebody who sat down and had you know, what most of us had, which was the turkey, the stuffing, the potatoes, the bread, the rolls, the, you know, the whole, the pie, the whole thing. And you know, if you ask most people that had that kind of a meal, I'm sure that they were very tired, you know, by the time the afternoon or evening like came around.
Food coma,
exactly. But you know, it's again, it kind of comes down to our body can only use so much of the nutrition that we put into it. So if we are eating a lot of carbohydrates, our body will use what it needs for energy, and then it's going to store the rest. It doesn't have the capability of just, you know, excreting it, basically. Versus if you are fueling your body with something other than carbohydrates, and you're, you know, we'll talk about ketones, but, you know, something that the body uses what it needs and excretes the rest. So it's not building up in the way that we've got carbohydrates building up in our fat cells. And again, making us fatter and making us, you know, more unhealthy. Because we can't excrete more than that. And most people, you know, a lot of people are eating a very high percentage of carbohydrates. You know, the typical Western diet runs about 65% carbohydrates. And yet, you know, compare that to something that your body reacts very differently to. So say the ketogenic diet, where the ketogenic diet is running about a 5% carbohydrate level. So that's a very different amount of carbohydrate and a very different amount that's going to be stored in the body.
Right. So when people get into this ketosis, we've heard that is like a scary thing that happens to diabetics or something like that. You know, a lot of people are you know, or starvation, you know, when we think of concentration camps and or people on hunger strikes, they go into ketosis or the fruity breath.
Yeah.
I believe, right? From people with diabetes where their blood sugar has gone so low that their body is searching for some type of other fuel to feed their brain, to feed their cells, because they just don't have a good mechanism burning the sugar, whether you're type 1 or type 2 diabetes. So then what are ketones and what is ketosis? Maybe you can make it a less scary term.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because I would encourage people, if they have questions surrounding the type of thing you were just talking about, you know, to get an understanding of the fact that there is a very different definition between ketosis and ketoacidosis. So when you're talking about someone who is a type 1 diabetic who does not have the ability to produce insulin, you know, the kinds of medical conditions that they can run into are, you know, would be ketoacidosis. It's a very different situation than ketosis. And it's a shame that the two words are so, you know, so closely aligned, but they are very, very different. They have a very, very different meaning and a very different situation going on in the body. So again, if someone is a diabetic, type 1, type 2, or has any kind of medical conditions, obviously the best thing is for them to work with their physicians on what's best for them. You know, they're the ones that know and understand what that person's overall situation is. So I always encourage people to, you know, to work with their doc and to just really understand what's going to be the best situation, the best nutritional plan, whatever it might be for them. But, you know, just going back to ketosis. So let's kind of go back to the very beginning of time, as I mentioned, you know, when we were, you know, back in the caveman days and people were, you know, killing their food to eat and, you know, it was a lot of meat, it was vegetables, it was nuts. The body didn't have this very high level of carbohydrates going into it. It had a lot of fat going into it. And the body is, so what's happening is that when you're eating a very low carbohydrate diet, whether it's by choice or, you know, way back, it wasn't necessarily by choice, but when someone is eating a very low carbohydrate diet, what happens is that your body goes through a process involving your liver and some other things that basically results in ketosis. And all that means is that your fat cells have started to break down molecules that are called ketones. And now you have ketones circulating in your blood system and in your overall system. So what happens when you've got ketones is that the ketones become the fuel source for your body. So a lot of people have heard of the ketogenic diet, and that's kind of scary to a lot of people, because when they hear that, as I mentioned, the ketogenic diet is about 5% carbohydrate. That's very, very difficult for most people to do. I mean, if to follow that type of a diet is very challenging, and that's why most people are unable to do that. But if someone is on a ketogenic diet and they're eating very high fat, very low carbohydrate, 5% carbohydrate or less, that what's happening is that their body does not have the carbohydrates in it for the fuel. So the body goes through that process of breaking down the fat, has the ketones in the system, and the ketones become the fuel source. The interesting thing about that is that your brain actually prefers ketones over glucose for its fuel source. And so one of the things that happens when somebody is on a ketogenic diet and they do get their body into ketosis after a period of time, and they do have the ketones that are being utilized as the fuel source, it's almost like your brain just comes alive. You know, you've got a different energy source. A different energy level. You've got a clarity. Your brain is just kind of turned on, and your level of productivity, all of these things, which can be felt in a very short period of time. That alone is, you know, kind of the proof that the brain is preferring those ketones over glucose for its fuel source. And, one of the reasons, you know, when we think about, there's been a lot of research centered around things like Alzheimer's and, you know, just a lot of different things going on with the brain. And, you know, when you dig into that research, you can see that one of the things that some of the researchers will refer, or how they'll refer to Alzheimer's, is to call it type 3 diabetes. And you may have heard that term. Yeah. And basically what that means is that they have found in that kind of situation that the brain cells can become resistant, and there's a level of insulin resistance. And so we know that when we've got insulin, it takes insulin to carry glucose to the cells to give it the fuel that it needs. So if there's a level of insulin resistance in the brain, the insulin can't carry the glucose into the brain. So the brain is not getting the fuel that it needs. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's just not going to function at the same level as what it normally would. But ketones, when you've got ketones in your system, ketones very easily cross the blood-brain barrier, and they get into the brain, and they're able to give that fuel source that the brain needs. And so, you know, there's a lot of research around that. It's definitely something that's worth, you know, digging into. And I'm obviously not a physician, I'm not a scientist, but I have found that to be a really, really interesting aspect of ketones. I saw it with my own mother, who had a lot of medical conditions and a lot of challenges. And once I was able to get ketones into her system, her mentality, her clarity, all of these things changed, which said, wow, there's something here when we look at what the brain actually might prefer for its fuel source and how it might be able to function. So.
You know, so you said a lot of things that's interesting. So, but the basic thing I'm thinking is that normally our physiology can get into this state through keeping the carbohydrates low. And
right.
That's the way we were sort of kind of designed, or evolution chose that as a survival mechanism by, you know, hunter-gatherers and things like that.
Yes.
But I guess we have, our diet has changed so much from the hunter-gatherer diet that we're not able to do that normally.
It's interesting, Dr. Z, because it's not just the hunter-gatherers and kind of going back to that stage, mm-hmm. We are actually born in ketosis. So when a baby is born, their body is in ketosis. their brain is being developed by the fat that is, you know, that's in their system. They are in ketosis, and they'll remain in ketosis during the time that they are breastfeeding and up until the time that they start eating, you know, regular food. And, you know, so it's kind of like our body is born in this very, very healthy state, and then we kind of screw it up from there. So, you know, but if you, and this is one of the things I know we'll talk about, you know, exogenous ketones versus endogenous. Endogenous yeah. ketones are what your body can produce on its own through that very restrictive type of diet. But, you know, if you also have the capability of putting ketones into your body and getting those ketones in your body, you're also able to get your body into ketosis. And, you know, you're right. It's very challenging to follow that type of diet. And, you know, when you think about, when I think about ketones and trying to understand, you know, kind of where has all of this, you know, what's been the evolution of all of this, not only from the beginning of time, but I'll just mention that back in the 1920s, some of the doctors working at Johns Hopkins and some of the different, you know, major health institutions were finding that when they created this ketogenic diet, recognizing that it was helping children who had epilepsy and helping them to decrease or even eliminate the amount of seizures that they were having. So again, kind of back to the brain and thinking, okay, well, what was going on there? They were putting these children on a ketogenic diet. You know, at what point they called it that, I'm not sure, but they a very high fat, low carbohydrate diet, and were able to see that these kids were their seizures were either going away or significantly decreasing. And that, you know, they kind of kept a focus on that probably up until the time, maybe around, I don't know, 1940s or so, where pharmaceuticals started to be created for epilepsy. And so I think the focus on the ketogenic diet shifted. And then, of course, you know, oh, well, if you got a drug, let's just give you a drug kind of thing. But we started to see the focus back on the ketogenic diet, I don't know, maybe around the 1990s. And I think it was really kind of driven by some Hollywood folks that were, you know, kind of pulled that back out and you know, started having that. We had the Atkins diet. We started yes. seeing a lot of, you know, people doing, losing a lot of body fat, losing a lot of weight. And that put the focus back on to the ketogenic diet.
What that weren't sustainable.
Yeah, exactly.
Healthy, you know, from a, you know, from a naturopathic perspective.
Yes.
I just don't think that that's a healthy way to go about it. And it's certainly not healthy for the earth. We can't support 5 billion meat eaters on our planet. It's just not gonna work with global warming. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that just to kind of give you a little bit of history here, back, well, this was probably a good, at this point now, maybe 15 years ago, the United States Navy and the Department of Defense had a challenge that they were trying to figure out. And the challenge that they had was the Navy divers that will do, you know, obviously very deep dives. They'll a lot of times they'll wear these oxygen rebreather masks, and they, you know, that's wonderful because they actually prevent bubbles from going to the surface, and that helps them from being detected, and, you know, from a safety perspective. But at the same time, there are times when that could cause them to black out or have a seizure. And so they started thinking about, okay, well, you know, if the ketogenic diet is used for, you know, had been used for children that had seizures, is there something that could be done to help prevent this? And they started connecting with some of the top ketone researchers in the world, actually. And one of the researchers that they started to work with was Dr. Dominic D'Agostino, who is at the University of South Florida, very world-renowned in the world of ketones, ketosis, and all of that research. And they basically had said, you know, can can you create a pill? I mean, can you do something that, you know, that, that could help prevent this kind of situation? That led to several years of research. And the end result of that research was the creation of what's considered exogenous ketones, a powder that, you know, can be mixed with water. You drink it, and within 59 minutes, basically less than an hour, you put your body into ketosis because you've got ketones in your body. So now you have a whole different, a game changer, because prior to that, the only way to put your body into ketosis was to follow a very strict ketogenic diet. And now you had something that was a product that could be mixed with water. Someone could drink it, put their body in ketosis, and have the same types of feelings and the same types of results as you would if you were on a ketogenic diet, but not needing to follow something that restrictive. And that ended up, that product ended up coming on the market about 6 years ago. And that I found out about it probably 5 years ago. And when I did, I couldn't stop digging into the research and understanding what had been done and how that was making differences in people's lives and all of those things. And the differences that I saw in my own life and in my mother and in my son-in-law, who've lost 85 pounds, and, you know, a lot of different people around me, and recognizing that if we have a way to put our body into ketosis, that is not the challenge as it has been in the past, following a really, really restrictive diet. You know, how can that make things different for our health? How can that, how can that be a tool to help us go down the right path?
So what happens when you take these ketones from exogenous sources, you know, it reminds me of like, you know, a lot of people are doing saunas and
yeah,
body temperature up to help their immune system. And it's almost like, you know, the research on a real fever.
Yes. Okay. So if you,
they do the same thing. It's kind of interesting.
Yes. That's a really good point. A really good analogy. It's right. You know, you've got your body, you've got an ability for your body to get to the same place in two different ways. And for some people, you know, they want to do the ketogenic diet. That's their lifestyle. They love it. They want to do that. That's great. The majority of people want to have the same kind of benefits, but they can't, they don't necessarily want to go down that the road of the diet. So let's just talk about the benefits of ketosis, because, you know, we've talked about some of the, you know, some of the bigger things, you know, the medical things. But if you look at what happens when your body goes into ketosis and the potential benefits, it's things like better clarity, more focus, better sleep, accelerated fat loss. You know, one of the big things is a decrease in appetite, a decrease in cravings, and, you know, better digestion. There's kind of a whole batch of things that happens when somebody's body is in ketosis or is experiencing ketosis. And if I had to sum it all up, I would say it's just basically better overall human performance. And so you think about, okay, if I woke up this morning and I said, okay, I've got 50 pounds to lose, and I've been waking up this, you know, every morning for the past 5 years saying today is the day I'm going to do it. And then by noon, everything just kind of goes to pot, you know, and I'm eating wrong. I haven't gone to the gym, whatever. And I wake up tomorrow and it's kind of the same cycle over and over again. But if I had a tool, if I had something that could help to decrease my appetite, that's not a drug, not a pharmaceutical, help to decrease my appetite, help to decrease my cravings, help to give me a better night's sleep, help to give me a level of energy that makes me want to get up off the couch and, you know, take a walk if that's all I'm able to do, or go to the gym, do whatever it might be. If I've got something that can kind of impact all of these different spokes of the wheel, Maybe now I can actually succeed. Maybe now I can turn around my health. Maybe I can reach the fat loss goals that I want because I've got a level of support. So, you know, that's what they started to find with the exogenous ketones. The company that I work with is called Pruvit, and Pruvit was actually the first company that obtained the rights to manufacture and sell the exogenous ketones. And you know, that when you look back, and it's just, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of lives that have been changed because of that tool that they have been exposed to. They're open in about 27 different countries. They're all over the place. And I think that's the biggest thing that I see, is that if you've got a way to put your body into ketosis that is not restrictive, that is not really all that difficult. I mean, it takes 30 seconds to open a packet, mix it with water, drink it up, or shake it up and drink it. If I've got a way to do that, get my body into ketosis, and that starts to impact all of these other aspects of my life, you know, my chances now are so much greater than they might have been previously.
Remember, we're non-commercial here at this station, so we can't promote products. We're going to take a break, and we want to hear more about the research on this ketone. So we're going to play one of our natural medicine chests and take a station break. And when we return, we'll talk more about this interesting science of getting in ketosis. And we got to talk about, you know, what people should eat during this whole thing.
Yes, perfect.
Know about the process of doing it. So we have a lot more. And hopefully this is a good teaser for you. So stay tuned right here.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen, or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
And thanks for joining us and coming back to our Progressive Radio Network. This is the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z Show. I'm Dr. Z. Dr. Eugene Zampro, naturopathic physician, herbalist professor, and co-hosting today, Dr. Kamai, the natural nurse, has the day off. And we're here talking about really interesting stuff. I mean, I'm super excited with Nita Kaysen. Is it Kaysen?
It's Kaysen, but no problem.
I didn't see the accent anywhere, so okay. So yeah, Nita, this is like really amazing stuff because so many people would benefit from, you know, kind of, and have, you know, cutting their carbs down.
Yes.
Getting to the point where their body's in a little bit of a lean ketosis type of thing. And if you were to do that naturally, how many days cutting down the carbohydrates to, you know, we don't know the percent.
Like 5%, yeah.
How many, it takes like a couple of days because you have to use up your stores of glycogen in the liver and then the muscles.
You're right.
Glycogen, right? And eventually you go into this. And I fasted many times over life. And I know that after like day three, you're feeling pretty good. Although I guess it depends on how many toxins are in your bloodstream, because sometimes the lightheadedness that people experience in some of the other sensations really don't have to do with the blood sugar. It has to do with, I think, detoxification. So it's kind of interesting. So that brings me to your point. When you're doing exogenous ketones, is your body, are you breaking down any of your natural fat? Because it doesn't make sense to me. Like, how could you be breaking down your natural fat when you're giving the body ketones? Doesn't the body get lazy and say, well, I don't need to produce any of my natural ketones because now I'm relying on the exogenous ketones? You following me?
Yeah. So let me go back to what you were first talking about. And that is, you know, how long does it take your body to, you know, to get into a state of ketosis? And it really varies. It takes typically at least a couple days. For some people, it can take a couple weeks. And for some people, it can actually even take a couple months. But probably on average, if somebody were to follow a ketogenic diet, somewhere around 3 to 5% carbohydrates, it's going to take them at least a couple of days to get into ketosis. And what most people experience during that time is typically called the keto flu. You don't feel great. And it's almost like you're climbing a hill, and you finally get over the top of it. So you've got, you know, you're not feeling really good. You feel like you have a flu. And then you finally get to that point where your body is now in ketosis because it's transitioned its fuel source from the carbs to the ketones that your body's producing. And now you feel great. Now you feel fantastic. Now you feel like you could lift a boulder. So that is one of the things that is an advantage to the exogenous ketones, because you don't go through a keto flu. You don't experience a keto flu. You are in ketosis in less than an hour. And you can prove that to yourself by just getting the keto sticks from the drugstore and, you know, checking your urine to see that you actually have ketones in your system in a very short period of time, as I said, less than an hour. So if you think about, you know, people that somebody that does want to follow a ketogenic diet, that's great. But there are times when they might cheat, that's such a terrible word when you're being so restrictive, but let's say they have a handful of strawberries and it knocks them out of ketosis. Well, now what do they have to go through to get back into ketosis? So if they're able, and it makes that people who love the ketogenic diet also love to have the exogenous ketones. People who don't want to do any kind of dieting whatsoever love the exogenous ketones because of how it makes them feel. So you were mentioning something about, you know, kind of what would you eat?
Well, I was actually, the second part of the question was, so naturally, when you're in ketosis, your body has spent a lot of time working to try to take your fat
I hear you.
Use carnitine. You know, carnitine is a very important amino acid which transfers fat into the cell to burn it. So yeah. How is this? Okay. How is this working? I'm trying to get my mind around it as a biochemist.
And you know, to be honest, I don't think I can clearly answer your question. What I can tell you is that the research around that, and there's a ton of research around exogenous ketones that's being done in different places all over the world, but the research that's being done does show that when exogenous ketones are in the system, that it does accelerate fat loss. So it's not the same process as what's happening when you are completely, you know, following the ketogenic diet and your body's going through everything with your liver breaking down the fat cells and those types of things. But it does accelerate the fat loss, and there is an impact on the fat cells. But, you know, what is it that causes most people to, you know, to get the results that they get? I would probably say about 80% of the people that have been introduced to exogenous ketones and start drinking them, their goal is fat loss. That's you know, typically what we see, you know, about 80%, you know, their goal is fat loss. And they may reach their fat loss goals, but they stay for the other benefits because of how it makes them feel and those types of things. So, but if your goal is fat loss, and if you kind of goes back to what I was saying about the overall benefits. So we've got something that's helping to accelerate the fat loss. We've got something that is impacting the muscles in a way that it's strengthening the muscles. If there's an impact on the mitochondria, there's some things that I can't, you know, physically explain, but there is a ton of research out there that shows, you know, why is it that Olympic athletes might drink exogenous ketones? I mean, here you're talking about people that are, you know, the healthiest in the world, the strongest in the world, but they may drink, what we found is that, you know, they may be drinking exogenous ketones because it's making the difference between that half a second in their time, which might be the difference between first place and second place. So you've got everything, you know, the gamut from the highest level athletes in the world that can benefit from exogenous ketones to the most unhealthy people in the world that can benefit from exogenous ketones. And for some of those folks, it may be more of the benefits of it's helping to decrease their appetite. It's helping to decrease their cravings. So if you are, you know, if you've made a decision that you're, you know, you don't want to do the follow the ketogenic diet, but you're willing to try to decrease your carbohydrates, now it's going to be a little bit easier to do that because you might not be as hungry. You might not, you know, have as much of a craving for the ice cream at night. And so all of those things kind of play in together. And, you know, you've got this, you've got the fuel source in you, you know, and again, like you said, it's a different impact on what's happening at the cellular level. But you've got the benefits of the ketosis, that is impacting your, how you feel overall, your energy level, your sleep, your, you know, your mood, all of those other things that play into your overall health and how you're trying to achieve your goals.
Yeah, like I tell many of my patients with like chronic fatigue syndrome, for instance, if their mitochondria are not making ATP, they can use ribose. And there's a whole like shunting pathway that ribose uses that then they could make ATP. So it's kind of like the body, I always say to my students, the body's a MacGyver.
really.
figures a way out of a jam. And so this is interesting stuff. I went online when you were talking and I'm looking at some interesting articles. Novel ketone enhances physical and cognitive performance, just like you were saying in sports medicine and things like that. So yeah, this is very interesting stuff.
You know, I always like to, you know, have people understand, you know, there is no magic pill. Obviously, you know that, you know, it's going to take work no matter what, you know, depending on where your health level is at this point in time. But it's you know, when you've got a tool that can make things a little bit easier, your potential to succeed is elevated. And I think that's one of the things we've had. We have so many people that have lost hope, I think, when it comes to you know, their health. And I just, you know, I always want to encourage people, you know, that please don't lose hope. You know, we can make these changes. Our bodies will respond no matter what it is that, yeah, I mean, think about smokers. Think about somebody that smoked for 50 years and they finally quit. And you know, research shows that the lungs can start to repair, can start to change. It's like, just like you said, the body's like a MacGyver, you know, it can figure things out.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we've got something that can give us a little bit more strength and determination, I guess, to do some of the things that we should be doing, it just makes things a lot easier. I also think about aging. So to me, and I don't care if somebody listening is in their 20s, you need to be thinking about aging. But certainly if you're in your 70s or in your 80s, you know, we're always thinking about aging. And when you put all of these things together, if you think about what is it that causes us to age, you know, maybe quicker than we should or could. And, you know, it's, we don't sleep well, we don't, you know, we don't eat well, we don't have the right fuel source, we don't, you know, get off of the couch, we don't exercise, we don't do all of these things. And all of this is impacting us at the cellular level, at the mitochondrial level. You know, we got this powerhouse of the cells that is dying, you know, is decreasing as we get older. So how is it that we can, you know, have our, we know our physical, our chronological age is going to go up, but how can we have our physical age, you know, go down? How can we just slow that aging process a little bit? And when somebody sleeps better, when they are moving and exercising and they've got the right fuel source, all of that impacts not only how we feel today, but I think how we're going to feel tomorrow and 5 years from now. I mean, I know, you know, five years ago when I started to, you know, introduce and drink exogenous ketones and started to make that a part of my daily life, oh, you know, I'm 5 years older than I was 5 years ago, you know, chronologically, but I am clearly 5 years younger physically. And I know that, you know, it has made a difference when I'm able to sleep really good and all the things that I've mentioned. So, yeah, you're
like, I worry about a lot of patients that have, you know, elevated blood sugar. They're not diabetics yet, but you know, their fast blood sugar is not really great. And so their body is is not even using the glucose, because if that's
right,
blood sugar is high, that means they're not, for some reason, their insulin mechanism, and it's very complex, of course, all the different steps that could be screwed up with the cell or the receptor or your transporter things and whatnot. And that's why there's at least 5 or 6 classifications of different diabetic drugs with impacting different areas of the body. But it's interesting. But the bottom line is they can't use sugar as a fuel. And then that sugar stays around the body, binds to proteins, causes the enzymes and the proteins to malfunction, and you end up with the super glue of the body, where the body becomes like, has anyone ever many years ago seen the bodies exhibit where they had the
human? Yes, I do. I remember.
Those bodies were vulcanized. In other words, they used like some fixative to inject into their veins when they passed away, the people, and then it turned their bodies into basically rubber. A combination of protein rubber. That's exactly what happens with sugar.
You're right. Exactly. And it's impacting every organ. You know, it's impacting everything, because you've got your blood that's going all the way through your whole system. And I think so much of what you're saying too is, you know, we have become a reactive society versus a proactive society. And you know, that's one of the messages I think that I really like to share with people, is that, you know, just kind of shift that around. Don't wait for the phone call. Don't wait for the diagnosis. Don't wait for the lab test, you know, to come back that is now really, you know, not where it should be. you know, let today be the first day of the rest of your life, and know that you can start making some of those changes and be proactive. And if you've got some tools, and those tools are everything from, you know, the support that you might have from the practitioners you're working with, to your friends, to your family, to something like ketones that can, you know, that can help to make you not as hungry, all of the pieces put together. But to take more of a proactive approach to how we want to live the rest of our lives versus a reactive approach. Because it just seems like when it's reactive, by the time you get those calls, it's like, oh, you know, you're throwing your hands up in the air and saying, there's nothing I can do at this point. And I don't ever want people to think that, you know, there's plenty we can do no matter where you are in your journey, whether you've never started or whether you've been, you know, struggling for 5 years. You know, you can make those changes and you can turn your life around. And we all have a lot of good reasons to be, you know, to be here, to be healthy, to wake up every morning and to feel good as we get out of bed, not feel like, you know, it's drudgery. So I think that's why I'm so passionate about it, is that, you know, life is precious. And, you know, not only do we want to live it, but we want to live it well. And we want to be there for our friends, our family, you know, and for the whatever reasons that we're here on this earth, you know, we've got things that we're all supposed to be doing. So
you've actually seen various clients do really well with this exogenous ketones.
Exceptionally well.
We have about maybe, I don't know, 7 minutes, 6 minutes left in the program. So we want to, of course, actually, your website is Keto Nita.
Yes.
You can get more information by going to your website, Keto Nita, KetoNita.com.
Correct.
So people can find out more, and then they want to contact you, they'll be able to.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
Tell us a couple of stories of like what you've seen. Like you said somebody lost 85 pounds. That sounds like.
Yeah, that's actually my son-in-law. So that's very, very, very close to my life, my heart here. When we were first introduced to the exogenous ketones, he was a big guy. He was a big football player, young guy. I mean, he was in his, you know, 20s at the time. He's now 30, I guess 31, 30. Mm-hmm. You know, he had had built up a lot of body fat. He had a lot of fat, that he needed to lose. And I think it was just, you know, once he got exposed to the ketones, it was that tool. It gave him the energy that had been sucked out of, you know, out of his system because of how he had been eating for multiple years. Mm-hmm. It just kind of improved everything. He wasn't as hungry. He was, you know, had all those benefits, and probably over about a 3 to 4 month period, lost 85 pounds, has maintained that. And, you know, is just as he says, you know, yeah, I jumped into this because I wanted to lose a lot of body fat, but, you know, I'll never stop drinking ketones because of how they make me feel. And, you know, he's now, he's married to my daughter. They just had their second child, she's 2 months old. They've got a 2-year-old. They've got a lot to keep up with. And, you know, so he really credits the energy and, you know, how he feels on a daily basis, which is very, very different than how he felt 5 years ago. So, when you look at people whose lives have been impacted by the product, by ketones, by exogenous ketones, it really ranges from, you know, there are people who don't have an ounce of fat to lose. And you might think, well, why would they want to drink exogenous ketones? Again, take it back to the brain health, you know, the brain health aspect of ketones. And, you know, when you're talking about somebody who's maybe struggling mentally, struggling with PTSD, struggling with, you know, whatever might be going on with them. And if they've got a different level of fuel that's going into the brain, sometimes that's changing the way that you're thinking, the way that you're feeling. And so we've seen a lot of people that have done really, really well, you know, from the gamut, physically, emotionally, just all over. I mean, with a lot of different adult, a lot of different aspects. But I would probably say, I know most people respond best to the pictures of, you know, the person that's lost 50 pounds or 30 pounds or whatever it might be. And you know, that's happened to a lot of people. I know we've been working with a big group of people over in Europe, in Northern Ireland, and in the UK. And, you know, a couple of the folks that are, you know, just had given up. I mean, you know, a hairdresser who had said, this is just my lifestyle. I have all these autoimmune issues. I have, you know, I'm 60 pounds overweight. I hurts to stand on my feet all day, all of these things. And to see their life completely change. And not only, I mean, there's one thing to see the body from the neck down. It's another to see the face from the head up, you know, and to be able to go, oh my God, look at, you know, it, yes, you see the fat loss, but you also see the life that's come back into somebody. Yeah. So,
I see from a lot of the research that inflammation goes way down when we're using this type of fuel. So there's quite a bit of research. If people go on, you know, National Library of Medicine, you know, you can Google PubMed, National Library of Medicine, and look up ketones and learn more about it. You could see the amazing amount of science and research. I saw some animal studies, but I've actually just was looking at some, you know, human things going on with these ketones.
And I appreciate you mentioning
to do more clinical research on how these help with athletes and folks.
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate you mentioning that because it, you know, this is a new conversation. I mean, you know, most people don't know or maybe have never even heard of exogenous ketones. Maybe they've heard of the ketogenic diet. And like I said, it's kind of like, well, there's not, you know, not something that most people want to do. But the research is definitely out there. It's going to continue at you know, I think a high clip. And I think more and more people, as they get exposed to that, and as they open their mind to recognizing that, you know, there is a different type of fuel out there, and they start to just try it. You know, you drink exogenous ketones once, and you can feel it. So, you know, it's not like you have to wait the 2 weeks or the month to feel good. You can feel it basically after you've drank one packet of exogenous ketones, and you've got that, you know, running right through to your brain. So, but I appreciate you mentioning the research, and that I'm excited about where that's going to continue to go.
Well, thanks, Nita. We appreciate your not only inspiring lecture or radio broadcast here, but also explaining something that's pretty new and could really optimize people's health. So really appreciate that. Again, they can contact you at what places?
The easiest is the Keto Nita, KetoNita.com. And you'll be able to see some more information, contact me, call me, set up a, you know, whatever. But there's a lot of different ways to connect just through that site. So I appreciate that very much. And I really appreciate the conversation and your knowledge about, you know, all of these connections as well.
Yeah, thanks very much. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Wishing you the best, and stay healthy, folks. Bye-bye.